Welcome to Asphalt Talk, a podcast by and for asphalt professionals. Join our expert hosts as they tackle real industry issues to pave a smoother way for asphalt suppliers and producers. This podcast is sponsored by MAPA, the Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association. Founded to promote quality and accountability, MAPA has been serving the asphalt producers of Missouri since 1990. And now a public service announcement from our sponsor, May Create Design. Google Translate doesn't work for web designer to paving company translations. You say hot mix and it thinks you're talking about the latest snack craze. Wouldn't it be nice to work with a designer who knows the difference between binders and bitumen? Work with folks who have been speaking your language for the past 17 years. Visit maycreate.com. That's M-A-Y-E-create.com. Because if you think your website sucks, so does everyone else.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Asphalt Talk. I'm your host, Dale Williams with Missouri Asphalt Paving Association. Today, I'm joined by MAPA's lobbyist, Noel Torpy from Hush Blackwell. We'll be diving into the 2024 Missouri legislative session, which has marked another milestone year for roads and bridges and the asphalt paving industry. We will also discuss the results of the 2024 August primary and what they mean for the future of the legislature and our industry. Noel, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dale. I appreciate it.
Now, let's start with a look at the legislative session this year. We've seen an additional $575 million allocated for I-44, $60 million for Highway 67. And on top of that, for the third consecutive year, the legislature earmarked $100 million for low-volume roads. This has been a consistent win for us, but as we look to the future, do you think this level of funding is sustainable in future sessions?
You know, cautiously optimistic. Revenue's down in the state of Missouri. So, you know, that always adds a little heartache. But, you know, should Lieutenant Governor Kehoe be the next governor, you know, one of his platforms is transportation. So that's always a positive. The next budget chairman in the House, Dirk Deaton, is from Noel, Missouri, very rural area of the state. So that's a positive. And then, you know, Lincoln Huff, should he come back, you know, he's got 2 years left to serve. He's been very upfront and honest about wanting to continue that funding. Should he not come back, you know, Senator Rusty Black most likely would be the chairman. He's also from rural Missouri. I think he would be a strong supporter of that as well. So I think we have the support. It just comes down to revenue, quite frankly.
You know, you brought up Lincoln Huff, and, you know, Lincoln has been instrumental in championing funding, and, you know, he obviously lost the lieutenant governor primary. You know, he has 2 years left, but you mentioned there's a chance he may not return.
You know, there's whispers that he would actually be tapped should Lieutenant Governor Kehoe win to head up MoDOT.
Oh, wow.
You know, who knows? Yeah. So obviously, if that's the case, I think he would continue to fight for this type of funding. I'm not sure how real that is, but, you know, you keep hearing it. And so if you keep hearing it, there's probably some truth to it in some fashion. But, you know, who knows if he wants to, you know, finish kind of what he has started in the Senate. And he's been so instrumental on funding for transportation throughout the state.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, goes back to last session with the funding for I-70. I think if you're keeping track, we're looking at close to $4 billion in GR transfer to transportation since I don't remember what year the governor had the bridge program. I think it was back to 18 or 19, but certainly monumental for us. And
he has been incredible.
You know, and obviously Senator Huff has been very instrumental in a lot of that.
So before we
move into the primary results, I think it's important to address something has been a significant challenge in recent years, and that's really been the dysfunction of the legislature and probably more so in the Senate side of things. We had filibusters, inability to move legislation forward. How do you see the dysfunction impacted, or how do you think this dysfunction has impacted the legislative process, especially for our industry? And with term limits leading to new leadership in 2025, what changes do you anticipate in Senate operations?
Yeah, I mean, with Bill Igel leaving, I think that helps tremendously. You know, there'll always be someone that tries to take the spot of someone like that. but it's been dysfunctional for the last 4 years, really. I think the Senate, you know, the way it's been created, it's supposed to be a little dysfunctional. I am cautiously optimistic, be able to get some stuff done this year. I think should Lieutenant Governor Kehoe be our next governor, he has built strong relationships with the Senate. I think that will greatly benefit. Depending on who's the floor leader, will dictate a little bit of that. But, you know, I had a positive conversation. Rick Bratton, who's part of the Freedom Caucus, he's from Belton. Just in, you know, he was knocking doors and running a competitive race. We were talking about the Royals and Chiefs in the stadium, and you know, he was very open about, hey, we need to do something here. We can't allow those teams to go to Kansas or anywhere else. So, you know, conversations like that are positive in the right direction. So I'm cautiously optimistic that the Senate will function certainly better than it has over the last 3 or 4 years.
Well, I certainly hope so. It's been challenging. I mean, we've been successful, but at least on a funding side, but you know, some of the other priorities we've had have just, you know, died, and hopefully maybe going into 2025, we'll see an opportunity there. I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about the 2024 August primary, and we have some important outcomes to discuss. You know, Mike Kehoe won the Republican gubernatorial primary, and it's certainly a headline. Given his extensive background, his time in the, you know, on the Highway Commission, his years in the Senate, his tenure as Lieutenant Governor, how do you think these experiences will shape his policies on transportation if he wins in November?
Yeah, there's no doubt it'll have a great impact. There's no better champion in the General Assembly or anywhere else that's going to fight for transportation dollars, which is wonderful, and policy to make it easier. Should he win, I think we'll see just incredible issues on transportation. And, you know, if Lincoln Huff is still in the Senate working with Lincoln to make sure those dollars stay in the governor's budget. So I'm very optimistic about what it looks like moving forward in a Kehoe administration for transportation. I don't think we'll ever see a better voice for that issue.
So as we look ahead, another critical aspect to consider is the upcoming leadership races in the House and Senate. These races will shape the direction of the legislature and could have a significant impact on our industry's priorities. How do you see the leadership races shaping up, and what should our members be paying attention to?
Yeah, I mean, there's really one leadership race that's crucial. You know, John Patterson from the Kansas City area is Speaker-elect. Alex Riley from the Springfield area is floor leader-elect in the House. Ashley Awning from the Kansas City area is minority leader in the House, most likely. And so there's no opposition as of right now. For Cindy O'Loughlin, she's floor leader in the Senate, going to be Speaker pro tem, or Senate pro tem, excuse me. The real race is that floor leader's race in the Senate. And it's, you know, the whispers, Jason Bean from Poplar Bluff area, Tony Luke DeMeyer from the Kansas City area, and possibly Travis Fitzwater from Jeff City area. Obviously, Tony Luke DeMeyer has been a massive supporter for us in every aspect, transportation, tort reform. So, you know, should he become floor leader, I think that benefits us the most, just being selfish. I also think he has a really good relationship with Cindy O'Loughlin. They'd make a really good team. He also has good relationships with the House members in leadership. Not that the others don't, but, you know, if Tony wins, I think that will really help shape our agenda in a more positive manner.
When just to help the listeners understand, when will these races, or when will the elections, do they take place after the general election in November before session starts?
Yeah, that's a great question. They do. They take, you know, so the House typically goes down to Jeff City the day after. The Republican House members go down on Wednesday, the day after the election, and have those elections. They've already had the two main ones, or the one, the speaker elect has already been voted on. The other ones will take place the day after. And then in the Senate, the same way, I think they go down on Thursday after the election, they will take those elections. So, you know, we'll know something by the end of the week on exactly who's in leadership.
Great. You know, I guess one of the things I hadn't really thought about, but, you know, we got veto session coming up in September. Is there anything on the docket that'll be taken up during veto session, or?
You know, the current governor vetoed quite a bit of legislative or line item, vetoed a lot of parts of the budget. But, you know, I've checked in on that, and there's no plan for at least the Senate to pick up and override him. So I don't think it'll be much of anything.
Okay. You know, as we prepare for the next legislative session, what should our members be aware of? Are there any potential challenges or opportunities on the horizon we should be preparing for?
Yeah, I mean, you know, right now on the ballot in November, Missouri is a pro-life state, and, you know, dealing with abortion, the only exception is it current law is if a mother's life is in danger, there's a ballot to overturn that in November. Should that be overturned, I think that will be a hot button issue. It'll be very partisan, but it could create a lot of dysfunction in the Senate. That'll be a big issue. Sports wagering is also on the ballot. Should that pass or fail? I think, you know, there'll be some tweaks to that. That's another hot button issue, not really party line, but a big issue. Of course, stadium funding is a massive issue, you know, with the Royals and the Chiefs, and now the Cardinals coming out and saying, hey, you know, our stadium's 18 years old. We need some assistance as well. Lieutenant Governor Kehoe, big issue for him is education reform. They passed a pretty significant bill last year, but, you know, they may try and do some more stuff there, and that's very controversial. Of course, there's tort reform. And, you know, in the Republican primary, there was a lot of money spent against Lieutenant Governor Kehoe by the trial attorneys. And so that will be interesting to see if that has an impact on tort reform. The Senate being reshaped, you know, may cause some of that. You know, Tony Lukemeyer, strong supporter of tort reform. City of Laughlin is as well. House leadership is as well. Both, you know, John Patterson and Alex Riley. So I could see that being a key issue. There's significant hurdles there because the trial attorneys have played in a lot of the Republican primaries in both the House and Senate. Keep in mind, we're going to have 50 new House members, roughly around 50 new House members. So, you know, that complicates things a little bit and slows things down on the House side. But, you know, those are kind of the big ticket items right now. That abortion issue and it wouldn't be the Republican caucus fighting. It'll be Democrats versus Republicans. But that issue has potential to really slow things down in the Senate.
Yeah, and I'm sure it will, you know, add to the draw for the November races. It'll be interesting to see what bases turn out on that.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Dale. With Vice President Harris now the nominee, that the Democratic Party certainly has a lot more energy than they did, you know, a few weeks ago. So that'll play a role. You know, I still think former President Trump wins Missouri by, you know, 15 points. So I don't think any of the statewide offices are in any trouble. But you're right, in some of these House and Senate races, that will absolutely play a role.
So as we wrap things up, you got any parting thoughts you'd like to share?
You know, I'm always cautiously optimistic. You know, with so many new people getting elected, I think there's great potential there. You know, the Democrat nominee, Crystal Quaid, I think she'd be a fine governor. But, you know, obviously, Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe has built such strong relationships. And I think it's been a long time that we would have such a passionate leader and quite frankly, just a fantastic governor.
Yeah, you know, obviously we've endorsed him for governor, you know, the first time we've ever endorsed a candidate. And, you know, obviously we're hopeful that he wins just because of his position on transportation. But outside of transportation, Mike is, I think, one of the true statesmen in the building. And I think he would probably lead from that direction as well.
I completely agree. It would be, it'll just be refreshing. and I look forward to it.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Noel, for sharing insights on what's been another pivotal year for the Missouri's infrastructure and the asphalt paving industry. Your work is crucial in keeping us informed and ahead of the curve. I'd just like to say thank you for listening to Asphalt Talk, the podcast by and for asphalt professionals. If you enjoyed listening and learned something, please leave us a review. Your review will help us connect with other professionals like yourself so we can keep this conversation moving.
1992 called, they want their website back. Stop apologizing for your crappy site and stop working with that company who thinks Hot Mix is the latest snack craze. Work with folks who have been speaking your language for the past 17 years. And get a website that's not a gigantic pain in the you-know-what to build. Visit maycreate.com, that's maycreate.com, for a free consultation and quote. Because if you think your website sucks, so does everyone else.